Yo, hey, this is your boy Sale. I want to put a disclaimer on this real quick. Before I get into this segment, I want to put in a disclaimer. This whole series is going to be geared and it's going to be for men. For men of God, men of faith, guys that are trying to do the right thing. This is what this is geared for. This is not, just want to put a disclaimer out there. This is not a dissing section on men and our responsibilities. It's more of an education and a reminder of what we are supposed to be doing and how we're supposed to go about doing it. And I was encouraged to use the story of Jonah. And this whole series is going to be based on and is encouraged by the book of Jonah, the whole book of Jonah. And today I'm going to talk about, I can't get, you know, the title of this is Saved by the Whale. And I can't get that freaking song out of my head. I'm going to tell my age now, the Saved by the Bell theme song. I can't get that out of my head. And all I keep hearing is, it's all right, because I'm saved. We're saved by the whale. What does that mean, you're saved by the whale? Well, in the first chapter of Jonah was given detail and specific instructions from God on what he needed to do, where he needed to go, and what he needed to do. And Jonah decided to do the complete opposite of what he was called to do, what he was told to do, and he did the total opposite. Now, in him running away from what God told him to do, being disobedient as to what God commanded him to do, it caused some friction. It caused some friction on the boat. It was a bad storm. Everybody was freaking out. You know, his actions pretty much put other people in the line of fire, in a situation where they all could die. But the cool thing about Jonah is when he was called out about it, he said, you know what? I'm a man up. I'm going to make this right. And you know what? Y'all throw me over. It's not fair for y'all to go through this. It's not fair for y'all to have to go through this storm. It's not fair for y'all to just, you know, this is my fault. I'm sorry, you know, the only solution I have, since we're out here in the middle of the ocean, the only solution there could be is for you guys to throw me over. And since he manned up and admitted it, they were like, no, we can't do that, and blah, blah, blah. And they was even, you know, begging God, you know, not to, you know, don't, like, don't harm us any further. Don't hold us responsible for this guy, you know, if we do this and blah, blah, blah. And so they was reluctant, but they finally did it. And immediately the seas calmed, everything went back to normal. Immediately when they threw him off. But the cool thing about Jonah, he manned up and accepted. And he was like, you know, they throw me over, if I die, I die. But God, all knowing, already knew and already had something prepared for him. And I don't know if you guys know the anatomy of a whale, how a whale eats or anything like that. For one, whales are humongous. Even the baby whales are, you know, massive in size. And what they do is, and for you guys that, you know, a little bit more knowledge about whales and their behaviors and anatomy and things of that sort, correct me if I'm wrong, but what I remember learning And what I know about whales is that how they feed is they just open up their mouth and they swallow up everything that's in front of them. And usually they find a big school of fish. Only thing they have to do is just open up their mouth and swim through. And they also pick up whatever else is there. And that's pretty much how they eat. And they just swallow, you know. So, you know, it's just sitting there. So, you know, Jonah was saved by the whale, so he had a chance to sit in the belly of the whale. He was safe. God spared his life. And sometimes we forget that when we mess up, because what Satan does when we mess up is he's like, "Oh, you messed up now. There's no way out of it. It can't be fixed. What's done is, you know how what we say was, you know, what's done is done. You got to deal with it, you know. Can't be fixed." But we serve an amazing God, and God gives all of us a will. You know, that's not an excuse for us to run away and do whatever we want to do, because again, when Jonah decided to run, everybody that was around him suffered because of his running. And that's what we as men got to realize, is that everything we do, especially when it comes to running away from responsibilities and running away from what God ordered us to do, it affects everybody around you. And it becomes not just your personal issue, it becomes somebody else's personal issue. But God gave us a will, you know. And I think about us as men, you know, when we run away from things, you know, now, you know, you have broken families and the churches are screwed up. You know, there's a lot of things that are screwed up. I'm not going to get into detail, too much into detail and rant about that. But things get screwed up. But when we act like Jonah did and realize like we made a mistake and we manned up to it, God gives us a will. He gives us grace. And that's what the meaning of saved by the will is. You're saved by God's grace. But that doesn't mean take advantage of it. And in the next segment, that's exactly what I'm going to talk about, is the benefits and the repercussions of living in that well. This is your boy Sale. Thanks again. And remember, you know, we are saved by the well. We're saved by God's grace. So as I close, I just want to encourage, you know, men and women. You know, when you mess up, when you run away, don't get discouraged. Turn it around. Admit that you did some wrong. And I think about the story. I'm gonna share this real quick. Long story short, a few years ago, I got pulled over and I got a ticket. I don't remember what the ticket was about, but I didn't have my proof of insurance. Long story short, I got about a minute. Long story short, I was, you know, I didn't have my proof of insurance in the car, and at the time, I remember if I had insurance or I didn't have insurance. But so the court date comes around, I go to court, and you know, for you guys don't know how traffic tickets work. When you go to court, they give you a chance to take a plea bargain, a lower thing. So they just missed the ticket. You know, I got 0 points for the ticket, but they was like, you know, if you we'll give you another court date to prove that you had insurance and blah 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 blah. And so, like, again, I don't remember if I had insurance or not, but either way, I could not find the proof in my paperwork that I had insurance. So I called the insurance company, and the insurance company was like, you know, yeah, your insurance lapsed. We never received a payment. And so that court date, before that court date comes around, you know, back then I was more tech savvy. I'm not even close tech savvy now. So I went in my computer, I changed the dates to make it look like my insurance was current and up to date. So went to court. The judge, looked at it, was like, she called a quick recess. It's like, Miss Sanders, you don't mind if I call the insurance company to verify, blah, 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 blah. 15, 20 minutes later, the whole 15, 20 minutes, I was sweating bullets. I was like, because if I get caught, altering the line is I'm be dealing with more than just a ticket for not having insurance. And so she comes back. I was like, okay, Mrs. Sanders, I called the insurance. They said you. Her exact words was, well, because she knew something was up. She knew something wasn't right. She was like, her exact words were like, well, I called a couple of times and getting things. Somebody finally called, came back. Her exact words were like, well, they said that if the paperwork says that you're current, then you're current. So I have to dismiss the charges. So I'm thinking I was, clear. Like, oh, I got away with it. Yes. Not too much longer after that, I got another ticket for the exact same. It wasn't the exact same thing, but it was exact same points as I would have, as it would have been if I just admitted, like, hey, I don't have insurance. Like, say, I don't remember the time if I remember if I had it or not, But, the point is, I went through all that and I, went through all that stress, all that BS just to try to get out of something. One only thing I had to do, if I probably would admit, they probably would have said, hey, you got a good, you got a good record. This has never happened before. We're going to give you another extension to get your insurance up to compliance. Didn't think about that at the time. I was too busy trying to run away from the situation instead of manning up to the situation. Saved by your well. Saved by God's grace. It's your boy Sel. Two cents of faith. God bless. Yo, it's your boy Sel. Jonah. We still talking about this knucklehead Jonah. Man. So now, in the well, living in the well. Now, Jonah. Recap, Jonah, decided he wanted to go do his own thing regardless of what God told him to do. He almost put everybody in a bad position, and he, manned up to it and took the blame, took the hit, got tossed over the boat, and he got swallowed up by the well. This is where we're at now. Now he's in the well. Living in the well. Now think about just literally what it would be like in the belly of a whale. If you was actually literally in the belly of a whale. I don't mean to sound corny, but you're in the belly of a whale, it must be hell. It has to be hell. It has to be torturous. It has to be really bad. And sometimes in life, like saying we question things and then we forget, like, man, my own actions put me in this situation. People be quick to be like, oh man, how did I get in this? Why God is allowing me to go through this? And God's looking at you like, I gave you free will and your choice with your free will, you decided to go against my will, so you have to suffer the consequences. It's your fault. But you gotta imagine being inside of the belly of a whale. And when you think about being inside your whale, inside the belly of your whale, Jonah, in Jonah chapter 2, Jonah, he was praying constantly to the Lord. He was talking to the Lord, he was distressed. He was, crying out for help. You know, he was confessing to some things. He was, you know, giving God honor and praise on how, you know, you could have did this, Lord. You could have did that, but you didn't. Like, you saved me, pretty much. Yeah, just read Jonah chapter 2. And, you know, it goes through the things he was saying to God and what he was talking to God about. And he was just really thankful and really giving God praise and giving God acknowledgement of how good God was to him and thankful for sparing his life, you know. And, you know, it woke him up. And in Jonah chapter 8, chapter 2, verse 8, I'm sorry. This stuck with me. This is like the last few verses of Jonah chapter 2. And it says, those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What have I vowed I will make good? I will say salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded, then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah into the dry land. You know, that verse 8, and I think about social media and how it has distracted and put a lot of us on a different course than God wanted us to be. And we turn away from God because we have all this access to all this news and all this craziness. And it takes away from what God wants us to do. We're all being guilty of that. At some form or some level, we all been guilty of of getting hit by the social media bug. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, even though I had requests to continue to doing this, my podcast live on Facebook all the time, I, you know, just couldn't do it. And that's why I only do it once a week. But clinging to worthless idols, you know, that's the thing that happens with us when we're, you know, even when we're, you know, when we're living our life and we hear God tell us something, we're so busy clinging to these idols and to these things of the world that we think that if we go over here and do this thing, you know, go over here and do this and that, we'll be okay. And we won't be okay. And sometimes the way God saved you is he sends you a well, and you have to live in that well. You have to live in the hell that you created until you're willing and able to accept that you did wrong and that you're willing to change. And that's the only way you get out. And, you know, God allowed Jonah to be in the belly of this whale for a certain amount of time. And during that whole time, you know, Jonah was, you know, grateful and giving God the praise and giving God the glory and very thankful. And that's what we have to realize when we're in our whale, when we're living in the whale. If we continue to put God first, even when we're going through that hell and we're in that well and we're, you know, thinking that we're not going to get out, if we keep pushing towards God, if we keep doing what God asks us to do, eventually he's going to command that fish to vomit you out on dry land. And that's what happened. You know, us as men, we need to... Sometimes we need to just go through some hell to realize that, you know, this is the way things has to be done, and this is the way God want things to be done. But when we get out that well, when we get out that hell, life is better, and we've been given a second chance. my challenge to you as men is, you know, you men that have, you know, feel like you failed or you ran away from responsibilities, be whatever it is. If you feel like, you know, you want to get out that hell, you can get out of it. God will give you another chance. God will spit you back out on dry land and give you another opportunity. What you do in that opportunity, when he gives you that second opportunity, is key. And that's going to be the next segment. Kept it short and been good at keeping it short and sweet. This is your boy, Sal. Encouraging you to, while you're in that well, while you're living in the well, pretty much living in the well is living in your hell. While you're living in your hell, keep God first. Keep striving to do better. Keep giving God the praise, and he will deliver you out of that hell. So again, I just want to encourage us as men to not be afraid to, while we're, you know, don't be discouraged while we're in the well, and realize that God's going to bring us out of it. This is your boy, Sal, 2 Cents of Faith. I'm out. God bless. Recording. So today's title is, what is today's title? No, I'm just joking. But today's 2 Cents of Faith, I'm talking about obedience and having a second chance at obedience. So in Jonah chapter 3, now we're at the point, continuing from yesterday, we're at the point now where Jonah has been saved and was the whale spit him up. And so this is after the whale has spit him up, and God comes to him again and gives him a second chance. And he told him, gave him clear and direct instructions, sending him back to the same place he was supposed to go to in the first place. And, you know, he gave him detail, gave him precautions, like, look, I know it's a big city. It's going to take you a while to get everything done that I want you to get done, and talk to the people that I want you to talk to. And so the king got word to it. And the king also followed their instructions. And I'm not going to get into detail. Like I said, I'll make you read it. if you want to know the details, read Jonah chapter 3. But so long story short, Jonah actually followed through this time. And because he followed through, and because everybody was obedient to the instructions that Jonah gave to the city from God, God spared the city. And they turned, they turned from their evil ways. They stopped doing what they was doing. And God had compassion on them. God didn't destroy the city. And again, this story and these stories, and I just crack up because I'm reading, you know, I've read the book of Jonah several times, and this time I'm a little bit older and more mature and dissecting it this time. And it's funny how Jonah's just a knucklehead, pretty much. I'm like, man, did you get it the first time? Did you get it when you got swallowed up by the whale? And you just don't get it. But this time he did. He did. He actually did what he's supposed to do. And as I was talking yesterday, not just men, but us in general, as men and women of God, running away does come with repercussions. And when you run away, you do affect people around you, and you do affect, and it does have a huge effect on people. But again, our God is
is a God of grace, and he helps us out. He helps us get through it, and he gives us a second chance. And when you're given a second chance at obedience, you know, God has favor. You have favor with God. And the people around you start to have favor with God also. And a lot of people don't talk about that. And that's the powerful thing about us as men too, men of God, is that we don't realize how much power we have when we stand in the gaps and actually be obedient and do what God has called us to do. Our impact on the people in our lives and in the world makes a big difference. It makes a big difference. And because of Jonah's obedience, he saved the whole city because of his obedience. And fellas, that's how powerful that's how powerful we are when it comes to being obedient to God and doing what God has called us to do. God gives us the capability to save cities, save families. Not just cities, save families. I mean, I can go on and on and on. But he also gives you a second chance at it. So if you're, you know, and I don't get it because as a man, I'm not that way. But a lot of men are you know, they get depressed and, you know, they start acting like, I'm just saying, they start acting like little girls. They start getting super sensitive and in their feelings. And that's not how God programmed men. God programmed us as men to be strong, to be providers, to be hunters and gatherers and provide and to lead. He made us masculine for a reason. And yes, I said it before. My family, especially on my dad's side of the family, are mostly female. And I've said it before. Yeah, I'm definitely the most sensitive out of all of them. but I'm not going around, you know, crying over every little thing and whining and complaining about everything, because that's not the way God created me. Yeah, I'm very sensitive because God gave me a big heart. And that's where we get confused as men, and we start doing things out of anger, and we start doing things because we get in our feelings, and we're not, and some of us, especially nowadays, are not taught how to be masculine. And the reason why we're not taught to be masculine is because people ran, you know, a lot of men ran away. But as I close, I just want to encourage us as men to realize that God has given us grace, has given us another chance at being obedient, and given us another chance at stepping up to the plate and making things right. So just because you made a mistake or you ran away from something doesn't mean that God has given up on you. That's what the devil likes to tell us. That's what the devil likes to do, is to tell us that, you know, God has given up on you and we can't, you know, you can't do anything about it now. That what's done is done. That's not true. We serve a mighty and powerful God, and God gives us second chances, and he gives us second chances at being obedient. Some of us, he give us second, third, fourth, and fifth chances. But you don't want to, and this is for everybody, you don't want to give up, and you don't want to backslide when it comes to being obedient. Once God gives you an order, follow through with it. Be obedient. Just again, just in closing, this story in Jonah, you know, not only the city had his back, but and not only the city had his back and was obedient to God's orders, the king himself was obedient and followed the orders that Jonah instructed them follow by God. This is your boy Sale, 2 Cents of Faith. I'm out. Have a blessed day. And again, encourage you to take advantage of your second chance of being obedient. Just take a chance and take your second chance of being obedient. Take all your chances of being obedient to God and see what happens in your life and people around you. Have a blessed morning. I'm out. Hey, this is your boy Sale coming at you again. Today we're going to talk about asking a question, like, why are you mad? Excuse my voice, excuse my stuffiness, man. It's been one of those weeks. But we're gonna conclude with talking about Jonah. And in Jonah chapter 4, give me a second here. Sorry about that again. So in Jonah chapter 4, there was a, I'm not going to get too deeply involved in it for time's sakes. I've been really working on keeping to that 10-minute mark that I've started to do. But in chapter 4, pretty much Jonah prayed for some things and expressed some anger about some things, and he's thinking he's all good with God because he actually, you know, didn't run away from what God told him to do, and he's been doing what God told him to do, and he's getting kind of upset about the outcome of some things. And one of the verses that stuck out in regards to him being angry was in regards to a plant. And I'm trying to find it. And I'm going to start with, you know, I'm going to read Jonah 4, chapter 6. I'm going to start with verse 6. Chapter 4, verse 6. Jonah chapter 4, verse 6. It says, "Then the Lord provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, he provided a worm, which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head, so he grew faint. He wanted to die, and he said, 'It would be better for me to die than just live.' But God said to Jonah, 'It is right for you to be angry about the plant.' 'It is,' he said. 'And I'm so angry, I wish I were dead.' But the Lord said, 'You have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend to it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight, and should not have concern. I'm sorry, and should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there is more than 122,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also my animals?" Even though this was, Jonah was crying about this plant and about not having shade. You know how we are when we get hot and everything like that. And to me, yeah, Jonah was being a crybaby. I'm just gonna say it. Jonah was being a crybaby and complaining about things and what God made him realize was, hey, I gave you this and you didn't even do anything with it. And when I read that, I was like, wow. That's very true. He gave all this stuff. He gave this stuff to Jonah. He provided a plant that grew big enough to give Jonah shade. And Jonah didn't do anything about it. He just took advantage of it. He was like, oh, I got shade. I can chill. I can relax. I'll be good in the morning. And sometimes that's how we think is when God gives us stuff, we don't have to do any actions. We don't have to put any actions into work to keep that blessing or to keep what God's given us. But we do. In order, like, God provides us with money to be able to pay rent and put roofs over our heads. And if you don't go out there and if God provides you with means of income and you don't go out there and work for it, then you can't be mad at nobody but yourself. And the sad thing about it is we as men are becoming like that even more day to day, where we think just because we are men, especially when it comes to relationships and marriages and being husbands and being fathers, a lot of us think just because we're men that we are owed something, that we don't have to put in any work. And that's not true. You have to put in the work to enjoy your blessing. You can't go around getting mad. And that's just as simple as it gets, man. I can't really expound on that too much more. It's just that simple. Like the title of this is like, why are you mad? There's no reason for you to be mad when you had everything put in place right in front of you and you didn't do anything with it. And in this scenario, Jonah, he didn't water the plant. He didn't do anything to nourish it and to keep it fresh. So therefore, it died as quickly as God gave it to him, as quickly as it went away. And think about that song. And that song with the verse, since he gives and takes away, we think that because scenarios like Jonah, we think that God is giving us things and taking them away. No, he's not. It's our own actions and our own, our own actions and our own arrogance, ignorance, and pride that stops us from being able to enjoy that blessing. So when you hear that song, think about that. That's not true. God don't give and take away. We screw it up pretty much. This is your boy Sel, 2 cents of faith. I'm out. And my last, excuse me too, because I'm dealing with some sinuses and stuff like that, so excuse me. But in my last podcast, we talked about Jonah chapter 4, and when Jonah was, just after everything is done, after he when he finally went into the city that he was commanded to go into in the first place, after that, after all this, he's pretty much venting and expressing to God his anger. And the way God replied to him was so cool. There was a particular incident in regards to a plant. And God gave him a plant, and it was big enough. It grew big enough to where it provided him some shade. So in the daytime,
you know, when the day came around, you know, Jonah would have shade. So he was all happy and excited, and he woke up and the plant was dead. So he's angry about that. And God's response to his anger in regards to this plant was, well, why didn't you take care of it? You know, I gave it to you. You didn't do anything to take care of it. So it died, pretty much. Long story short. And I just want, this is, like I said, again, encouragement. I know we've been talking about men and our role and things of that sort. And this whole book of Jonah, and the reason why I chose Jonah was because it really speaks to us as men and how sometimes our attitudes get and how our pride gets and how we feel just because we're men, we can go and do anything we want to do, talk any way we want to talk, and that's not true. And when I think about, and I've always, you know, thought about this as a man of God, and our roles as men of God is being obedient to God, being obedient to what He asks us to do, here we go. So, where was I? So, yeah, so we kind of start falling short on, when we start falling short on our obedience, it starts to affect others and everybody suffers when a man doesn't accept responsibility and be obedient to God, everything falls. Nothing works. Nothing works. And God gave us, He did give us, some big responsibilities, but they're not impossible responsibilities. Actually, they're really easy. Since we're just freaking knuckleheads. just got to be honest. We're just freaking knuckleheads. And, one of the things that, especially in today's world, is we have gotten lazy as men because we expect, we have that attitude where we expect everything to come to us and we don't have to work or do anything and we can just be lazy and act however we want to act. That's not true. God holds us accountable for everything that goes on in this earth and how everything is ran on this earth. And yes, there are women put in place and there, and you ask any woman, any real woman, she like, yes, if there was a man out there that was doing what he was supposed to do, I would gladly do, you know, I would gladly submit to him. But it's a two-way street. We have to submit too. And like I say, number one, we have to submit and be obedient to God. Everything else will come into place. For instance, we're supposed to be hunters and providers and the caretakers, not just of our families, but as a species in general. We all as men, I remember, you know, reading and hearing stories about back in the farming days where the men will leave months at a time, not just one man. The men will leave months at a time to go sell or do whatever, you know, drive their cattle, do whatever they had to do to make ends meet for their family. And the woman would be taking care of the home while he's gone and did it with no problem, no issues, you know. And yeah, I mean, things change, but things haven't changed. We still as men need to go out and seek work and do things to provide and protect for our family. And not just like saying, again, not just our family, but
the human species in general. And we have strayed away from that. We are supposed to be the ultimate servants, which means when all the work is done, when you're done going out there providing, in other words, in today's in more modern terms, when you're done, when you're off work and you're done working whatever hours you work, your job is not done. If you are married and you have a family, you go and you make sure that your family's okay. You make sure that there's food. Even if you don't cook it, you make sure there's food. You make sure they have a roof over their head. You make sure that, you know, you check in with the kids. You make sure that the kids, you know, had a good day at school. They was listening to their mom. They was listening to their teachers. They were being good kids. And if they didn't, then you handled it. I remember back in the day when I was, you know, back in the day when I was little, you know, I was fortunate to have both my parents, you know, in my life growing up. So, and they were all on the same page. And I was actually talking to my aunt about this the other day. It wasn't just my mom and my dad, but it was my uncles and my aunts on both sides of the family. You know, there was no getting away with anything. You know, if you did something at school and you had an older brother or sister, the older brother or sister would handle it, but still, you know, they'll handle it. Make sure it didn't get, you know, somebody will handle the situation to make sure you stayed in line. And, you know, in my situation, it better not get back to dad. Or it's a problem. It's going to be a real problem if things got back to dad. And, you know, I grew up and I appreciated that, knowing that. And it wasn't a fear. It wasn't being scared. It was the fact that I was held accountable. And men today don't want, it's a struggle. I know I go through it. It's a struggle nowadays for men that are stepping up. Actually, we have it harder. For men that are stepping up, it is harder. It is. I get it. But that's because we screwed up back in the day. So we're reaping the repercussions of what some dude did back in the past and didn't accept his responsibility. So now we're dealing with it. So yeah, dudes, yeah, man, it is hard. It is hard, you know, being a father when your kids are not always there. It is hard, dealing with your baby mama or your ex-wife or, you know, yeah, it is hard, but as a man, you still gotta do what you gotta do. And sometimes you do what you gotta do and you just gotta leave it to God and let it go. But you gotta accept the responsibility and do and be obedient and do what God called you to do as a man. You can't just sit there and just let things happen and not do anything about it. Like say, I go through it. I've been there, you know, I'm still going through it, but I'll be doggone if I let something go and don't speak on it as a man or don't correct my child. And I'll be doggone if I don't accept that responsibility and do it, man. I would feel less of a man if I didn't. But like I said, this is encouragement, you know. And a lot of guys get like Jonah and they want to run away and they want to cry and complain. And God's like, well, wait, what did you do to make this right with the plant? And, you know, God was like, did you water the plant? Did you take care of the plant? What did you expect? You just expect it to just stay alive and keep you shade? You know, you expected me to do it? No, I wasn't going to do it. That's your responsibility as a man to do it. We are supposed to be the ultimate servants. When it's time to go home after work, you make sure everybody at home is taken care of. And you make sure that, you know, I said this before, we're not supposed to get the big piece of chicken or the big piece of meat or whatever. We're supposed to make sure everybody's taken care of and whatever's left over, that's what we get. Because we're the hunters and gatherers. So you go back to that hunting and gathering mentality. You know, when the men hunted and gathered, you know, they ate while they were out there. You know, And they brought back the majority of what they got. They brought it back to the families. And so, you know, don't go home waiting, you know, expecting, or don't go into a relationship. Don't go into men, period. Stop thinking that somebody owes you something, especially God. God don't owe you anything. Nobody owes you anything. Get out there and get off your butt and work. This is not, you know, a bashing. This is an encouragement. It's time for us as men to step up, stop crying, stop complaining, stop running away from our responsibilities and do what we need to do. You know, again, in that whole, you know, book of Jonah, when Jonah did what he was supposed to do, everything was awesome. Everything went good. You know, even when he, even in the beginning of Jonah, when he was on the boat and he was supposed to go somewhere else and he didn't, you know, God made it rough for him. But the second he said, you know, even when he manned up to like, I messed up, the second he manned up, everything was peaceful. Everything was cool. And I want to encourage you guys. That's how it is for us. Is we're doing what we're supposed to do, even though we think we're in the belly of the whale and we think we're struggling and we're going through stuff. God would bring us out of it. God made men tough for a reason. So this is my encouragement to the men. Stop being sissies. Stop being punks. Man up and do what you got to do. I know it's hard saying I'll go through it too. I deal with it on a day-to-day basis. But I'll be doggone if I'm going to let somebody, you know, hinder me from doing what God has called me to do. And I have did that. Everybody's done that. Everybody's fallen short at one point in their life. But it's you picking up the ball and saying, shoot, man, I screwed up. God, can you, you know, deal with me and let them go? This is your boy, Sal. I'm going to stop right there before I start ranting. I'm over my 10 minutes. This is your boy, Sal. Encouragement to men. Let's step up, fellas, and be the ultimate men servants and stop being crybabies and whiners. It's your boy, Sal. I'm out.